God, I thank you that you've brought Dan all the way down from the north to be with us. And it's been great to get to know him these last few months, Lord. And I know that you've done some great things in his life and just, yeah, called him to speak to many, many people about you. And I just pray now as he shares with us tonight, Lord God, that you would just bless him and fill him afresh with your spirit. God, we're just so excited to hear what you've got for us through him tonight, Lord. Amen.
Awesome. Thanks. Well, it's so good to be with you. I loved my journey down from Burnley. Some of you heard where I was from earlier. Did I say that earlier? I can't remember what I've said today and what I haven't. Oh, at the table. So just 2-7 of you. Cool. I am actually from Burnley, which is above Manchester. So it took me about 4 hours to get here. But it was a nice drive. You know, like went by the sea, maybe I took a wrong turn. I was fairly near the sea. It was cool. I enjoyed it. It's very flat down here. Where I'm from, if you go somewhere, you go uphill, and if you come back, it's uphill. Not sure how that works. But that's basically what where I live is like. So three, I guess you heard a lot about me before, like, some concerning things as well. I threw a brick at someone. That's completely not my personality. That was a blip. And I can't remember what that girl had done, but clearly it was very annoying. And anyway, three things I think you need to know about me, or three interesting things, or things that I think are interesting, or things that you probably need to be aware of. Number one, I am a Burnley Football Club fan. I know not lots of people here may be big football fans, but where I'm from, literally, like, our town runs on football, okay? You know, every other person that you see in the street is wearing a Burnley shirt, that kind of vibe. We're doing okay in the Premier League, but I did defect to Liverpool for 4 years at age 7 when I left the area. And then I moved back to, you know, it's kind of like coming back to Jesus, basically, that moment. Secondly, I don't know what the weirdest thing you've ever eaten or where you've ever eaten it, but for me, the weirdest thing I've ever eaten, I love food. I'm probably like, I won't call myself a foodie because I think they're like people who know stuff about food. I just like eating it. When I was in South Africa, I was with my friend, who was my best friend at the time, and we were together, and because we were 18 and we didn't have our mums with us, we decided it would be a great idea to eat crocodile meat. Which was pretty. It was pretty good. It's somewhere between pork and chicken. Okay, just for those that are interested, on a pita with salad, so in kebab fashion, some little chips on the side. But if you ate the crocodile meat in the enclosure with the crocodiles, then you got a certificate, and you paid slightly more. And so that's what we did. Yeah. So like, you know, those like plastic tables and chairs that you have in your back garden that like look like they could snap at any moment. On those. Because everyone's got a set of those somewhere. On those, in with the, and the crocodiles kind of just walking around us. There's a guy with a stick. Okay, so we were fine. And then the third thing is, which for some of you, you don't need to put your hand up for this. If this is you, you can just look at me and I know it's you. But when I was growing up, when I was a teenager as well, I had a serious phobia that took me a long time to get over. It's a real phobia. Some people don't think it's a real phobia, but I believe it actually is. And it is of using public toilets, particularly to sit down, okay? Yeah? Now, some of you are like, that's weird, okay? What's wrong with you? Others of you are going, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. To the extent that I would wait to get home from school, okay? There was one instant, my mum used to work in my school where she had to coach me through the door, but that's a separate story. So that's three things about me and maybe need to be aware of. Also, actually, I went to Brazil this summer, which was amazing. And I got engaged there, which was quite cool. And I should have brought a picture of Marina, who's my wonderful fiance. She's from Brazil. We weren't just in Brazil. That's not the kind of person I am. It's just like, let's go to Brazil and get engaged. No, she's from Brazil. She speaks English better than me. And definitely speaks Portuguese better than me. If you ever meet someone from Brazil, don't ask them if they speak Spanish. They really don't like it. Or like to have that mentioned on a regular basis. Just so you know. Great. Well, and one other thing just to mention is I work for an organization called Hope Together, and we basically help local churches show and share the love of God in their environments, but also through doing it with churches together, helping churches work better together in an area to show and share the love of God in that place and to bring the message of Jesus, that is a message of hope, to those communities, places, schools, wherever it might be. So if you want to know any more about that, come chat to me another time. Not going to bang on about that. We need to jump into what we're chatting about for these next few days. Our theme is Inside Out, as you saw from the amazing flyer advertisements, things that went out that I have seen. And when we think about this idea of inside out, and we think about kind of something has to go on the inside before it comes out, or something that is going on in the inside, or maybe you even think, actually, whatever happens on the inside will definitely come out. Maybe you think about food. We don't need to go any further, yeah? What happens on the inside? Yeah, okay, you get the point. Or you think about, like, someone hurts you. You know, sometimes we end up carrying that hurt and it comes out at another point. Maybe it's something angers us and there's a brick near you. Maybe it's a passion or something that's in you. It's just like, I just love music, or there's something you see that you know is wrong, that is wrong. You know, I see someone getting bullied, or I see someone without food, or I hear about something, you know, that there's still 27 million slaves on planet Earth today. You know, and I've got to do something about that. You know, maybe there's something like that in us that has to come out. We say something, we do something about it. Good, bad, and ugly, whatever happens inside of us will come out. That's kind of how things work. But the world is changed by him. We see this in the life of Jesus, and we see this in the life of the people around him. And we're going to look at one of those people, a guy called Paul, throughout these next few days. But the world is changed. The world is changed by those who begin a journey on the inside first. The world is changed by those that begin a journey on the inside first. I think about this guy who's one of my heroes, Nelson Mandela. There he is. He died a couple of years ago. And Nelson Mandela, you may or not know him. You may have heard him out of history, politics, I don't know what subjects you do at school, but or something like that. You may have heard of this guy. He was the first black president of his time in South Africa. There was this whole issue around race, and he did this amazing thing and brought peace and reconciliation. He didn't just flip things the other way. It was amazing what he did. But originally, like, years and years earlier, he was this kind of activist, someone who was trying to harm the people who were coming against him and all this kind of thing. And he ended up in prison, and we don't need to go into why he ended up in prison, all that kind of thing, but he ended up in prison. He found himself in prison for many, many years, and he had an encounter with God, and he became a follower of Jesus, which is amazing, and some amazing stories of people who journeyed with him in that. And the day he was set free from the prison, as he was walking out of the prison, this place called Robben Island, before he got to the prison gates, he'd made a decision in his heart. He says, I forgive those who did all of these things to me. Rightly or wrongly, I forgive all of those people who've done these things to me. I leave that all behind, because if I carry any of that stuff that was going on in prison and before what happened in prison, and all of that, if I don't leave it here, I'll carry it for the rest of my life. And it'll affect how I see things, how I view things. So he made a decision on the inside of him. And so when he stepped out, that's why he could lead on bringing a nation together around forgiveness and peace and reconciliation. And I love his story, because actually, if he could have just come out of prison, still done what he did, still become president, I mean, but it would have been all about trying to just get back at the people who did those things to him. But actually, it began a journey on the inside. There was an inside transformational decision. And so it is our choice. It's our choice what comes out of our lives based on the decisions we make on the inside. It's a process and a journey of transformation. We're going to use this word transformation over the next few days and chat about what it means to be transformed by God. That actually transformation is a process. It started in a moment, but it begins in our hearts. that actually Jesus wants to transform our lives. And maybe for some of us, we think that's quite a scary thought. Maybe for some of us, we're like, actually, I don't want Jesus to transform my life because I kind of like it how it is. Or maybe for some of us, we're like, actually, I don't feel like I'm good enough for Jesus to transform my life. Or maybe for some of us, we're like, actually, you know, I'm kind of fixing this on my own, Jesus. That was very much my story growing up. I was like, just trying to solve all my own problems, trying to find my own way. That was my life in school. That I was like, oh, I've got this. Yeah, I know about you, Jesus, but it's like, I've got this. And we forget that actually Jesus is there to help us and empower us. And maybe for some of us, like I said before, we feel like, actually, I'm not good enough for Jesus to transform us. But I want to tell you tonight that actually Jesus sees you as the one that he loves, that he created, that he's purposed. And actually, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, or what's happened to you, that actually he wants to transform you further into the person that he's created you to be. And maybe for some of us that feel like, actually, I don't need to be transformed. I'm kind of just happy where I am. But hopefully, over the next few days, you might begin to get a bigger vision and dream for your life of who God's created you to be. And maybe when we think about this idea of being transformed, maybe, you know, or maybe it's just me, but I think about Instagram. And it's quite easy to transform yourself on Instagram, right? Maybe some of you are too young for social media, so this isn't a promotion, blah, blah, blah. Right. Which you're aware that Instagram exists. Okay, you don't need to confess to me later if you have it and you're under 13. But on Instagram, it's easy to transform yourself, right? You know, particularly guys. So, like, my future brother-in-law, he's 14 years old, and his most used word, because he speaks Portuguese and not much English, and vice versa for me, he says the word, and he just posts this on Instagram. He just says gangster or hashtag gangster. If you met him, in all honesty, he's the least gangster person you've ever met. He's up there with me on the less gangster end of the scale. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's there, and this is the general pose on Instagram. Or, you see, some of you are going, oh no, but actually there's a bunch of you that have done it. Okay. Or this. So that's sometimes, lads, isn't it? But girls, you're laughing. But let's be honest. Let's be honest, yeah? Okay, how big can I make my lips look on this post? Have I got that at the right angle? And then, you see, boys, you see, we post one photo of this. Girls, we get four versions of... Your head's in a slightly different position every time. Maybe some of you think I'm being way too harsh, and you're just like, no, I honestly just post pictures of my dog on Instagram. Okay, get some better photos. But some of you are like, oh, my dog's really cute. The whole world needs to know about my dog. Okay, cool. Set up your dog's its own Instagram. That's what I suggest. It's a great hobby. But the thing is this, right? We want the world to see. Oh, we want the world to see us in a certain way, right? So we transform ourselves to look a certain way on Instagram. We put a certain filter. We edit the photo in a certain way. Yeah? And we're like, oh, that's me transformed. I am transformed, but it's just a view of us that's been transformed. It's not in here. It's not something in here. There's nothing wrong with putting nice photos on Instagram. You know, like maybe you're Peter and you want to make your lips look big. I don't know. I'll pick on you. No, sorry. Sorry. You're lovely. But actually, it's something that goes on inside of us. It's not just about, oh, you know, I just want people to see that I'm a bit changed. Or I'm a bit different. Or I want to project a view. But actually, Jesus wants to do a full transformation within us. You see, Jesus celebrates when we move forward and grow. You see, if we're in a place where, like, oh, Jesus, I'm kind of sorted, I'm good. Well, he's like, he's going to struggle to help us be transformed more into the people he's created us to be. You see, Jesus talks more about character, it seems, when he was on earth, and what we see through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, that actually Jesus talks more about what goes on inside of us than what we do. Because actually what he relates it back to every time is how we lived comes out of what is going on in here. And so Jesus is more interested in a heart change than just us having more knowledge about him. It's great to know about Jesus, and we should constantly want to learn more about Jesus. But we've got to make sure that we're allowing Jesus in to change and transform us. And one person's story that I mentioned before, the story of Paul. Some of you may know this. He used to be a guy called Saul. And he was a guy whose heart was in a very, very different place. Because actually he was a man who was Jewish. And he'd been trained in the Jewish ways of learning. And he understood the old part of the Bible. But then there was this other group of mainly Jewish people who were called the Way, or now known as the Church, but at that time, and they were talking about this guy Jesus who had lived and he'd now gone back to heaven, but he'd done these things, and now they were forming their own thing and talking about how actually anyone can come to God. It's not just Jews, and they were saying many things that disagreed with him, and so he took it upon himself and got some other people around to go and say, actually, we need to lock these guys up, we need to shut these guys down, and if they don't shut up, we'll kill them. That's where he was at, okay? That was what was going on inside of him. In fact, it even says, when he, soon after the stoning of a guy called Stephen, who was the first person that we see recorded in the Bible of a Christian being killed for their faith after Jesus, was that actually, he says Saul was breathing murderous thoughts. I don't know what happens when you breathe, but when I breathe, it's generally just air. But if someone's breathing murderous thoughts, there's something going on in here that is not right. I think we'd probably all agree. That's like borderline psychopath. Breathes murderous thoughts. What? Okay. But so there's something going on. And then he has this encounter with Jesus on this road. He's on a horse, comes off the horse, he's blinded. And then he goes into his city. And a guy goes and prays him, he receives back his sight. But before he's received his sight, he's given his life to Jesus, he's turned his life around. God's begun in a moment transformation in him, but it's a process, and we'll see that journey as it goes on. But Paul writes something that we're going to look at over these next few days in the book of Philippians. This, he wrote this in Philippians 2, and it says this, it's going to be on the screen. Philippians 2, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, that's Jesus, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, we'll come back to him in a moment, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, but in one spirit and one mind. Hold on. This is the guy who's like used to be breathing murderous thoughts. He's now basically saying, be like this Jesus. Be like this Jesus that you've heard about. Be like this Jesus that these people are following. In fact, I'm now a follower of him, and he has changed and transformed my life from the inside out. And he first says, therefore, if you have any encouragement in being united with Jesus. I think we're going to underline that bit. Oh, we've got it in bold. Amazing. Encouragement from being united with Christ. Jesus knows us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to draw close to him. He wants to embrace us. Maybe you're like, actually, Jesus, he wants to transform us, wants to change me, he wants to do that stuff you mentioned before, Dan, but I don't even think he likes me. I'm not sure that he even knows me. Jesus wants us to embrace him. He knows us intimately. Jesus knows us because he created us and he calls his masterpiece. It says this in Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Me and my friend Paul made this video and I think he says it quite well. So fix your eyes on the screen. That's what God says about us. that we are his masterpiece. And that he is wanting to transform us more into the masterpiece that he's created us to be. And sometimes what we hear in our minds is the things that other people have said about us. The things that other people have spoken over us. And we forget what it says at the start of that verse in Philippians 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, with Jesus, that actually Jesus is the one that wants to know and embrace and engage with us, even sometimes when we don't want to, because we are his masterpiece. Because we are the people that he has created, handcrafted, purposed. And that we're not defined by who we used to be, or the mistakes we've made, or what's gone on. But actually, because Jesus came and died and rose from the dead 3 days later, as we remember at Easter, but we should remember all the time, that actually from that point we are able to live the life that he's created us to live. Because he can transform us into more of those people that he has created us to be. From that connection, from being united with him, from being connected to him. But it's our choice. It's our choice whether we're transformed or not. The second thing it says is, in Philippians 2 it says, comforted from his love. His love comforts us. His love embraces us. It says in another part of the Bible, in 1 John 4, it says that his love casts out all fear. That's how awesome his love is. It casts out all fear. His love doesn't just pat us on the head and go, there, you'll be okay. His love is experienced every day and can be. That actually it's because of his love, because of that great act of love when he died on the cross, that we can experience his grace. That actually maybe you've heard this word grace in church or in youth before. Maybe you know what it means. But his grace is basically what he did and what he is doing. His grace wasn't just a moment. His grace is actually what he shows us. You see, we don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve his love, but he shows it. Because grace goes well beyond mercy or justice. It is showing us and enabling us to live out a life that we were kind of disqualified for because of our mistakes, because of our past, because of the things that we have got wrong. And it's his grace that enables us to live beyond our mistakes. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians, another thing that Paul wrote, that his grace is made perfect in our weakness. His grace, though, isn't something to just go, oh, I'll just keep making mistakes, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, as in like deliberately choosing to make mistakes, I'll just keep living the life I'm living, and grace will fix it. You know, when I drive, I don't just think, I've got insurance, therefore I'll just crash into cars. I'll just do what I want. That actually, I don't want to use my insurance. It's there in case something happens, but I don't want to live like driving around like I'm using my insurance all the time. I want to learn to drive a better way. And that's what grace like. Grace empowers us to live a life that is chasing after Jesus. It propels us forward. Grace reminds us that we can't do it on our own, but we can do it with his grace. You know, and maybe for some of us, we feel like people have said things to us, or people have spoken things over us, or things have happened to us, that actually we're like, that tells me I can't do that thing. You know, in school, I was bullied quite badly at the start of high school, and even some of my so-called friends weren't really that great. And some of the things that were spoken over my life, and things that were said to me, like my friends always just tell me to shut up or not speak, usually because what was coming out of my mouth was a joke, and some of them weren't great, but it doesn't mean they should have said that. Or I wanted to, or I felt like, actually, I could be the spokesperson for this group activity or something. They'd be like, no, you can't speak. You're rubbish at speaking. You're rubbish at doing anything like that. And so I shrank into the back. I just sat at the back of class. I didn't say anything. I was just very quiet, which was completely out of my character, as you might be able to tell. That actually, I felt like I had something to say. I felt like I had something to do. I was part of the drama club. I quit that. Everything that related to doing something with my voice or performing something or whatever it might be, I just stepped back from because of things that were spoken on my life. And then a few years later, I heard somebody say something about actually the things that people put you down for, the things that people put you aside for, might be what God's calling you to do. And I knew in that moment that was me. That actually God was calling me to use my voice to speak his truth and life into different people's lives. But it was only by his grace that I was able to step into that. It was his grace empowering me to do that, because without his grace, I would just kept believing what other people had spoken over me. His grace is the power to live like Jesus. That actually, it's grace that enables us to live like Jesus. It says in another version called the Message of Philippians 2, it's going to be on the screen, if his love has made any difference in your life. So it talks about comforting us. So his love comforts us, his grace comforts us, but it's also grace propels us forward. But his love and grace does something new in our life. It makes a difference. It transforms us when we fully experience and embody his love. And then it goes on in Philippians 2 and it says this. It's going to be on the screen again. If any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, have the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. If any common sharing in the Spirit and being in one spirit and one mind. Let's just talk about that last bit for a moment. Maybe the band can come and help me out. Being in one spirit and one mind. There's this moment that we see in the journey of the church, in the journey of Christians, in Acts 2 verse 1, where it says, there was a group of them gathered together, and in the King James Version, which is like old school, it says they were together of one accord. And what that means is they were together of like one spirit, one mind. They were together in that space, kind of like we are. Hopefully we are together of like one accord. We are here, going to have a great time at Letting Hall House Party. We're going to have a great time this week hanging out with people. Hopefully we're thinking, actually, I'm going to have a great time in these sessions, worshipping, learning. I want to be transformed by God. You know, I want God to do something new in me. Maybe, you know, I need God to prove how real he is to me. But what happened at that point was that then the Holy Spirit came. And that was the day of Pentecost. And there's something really, really significant about times like this when we gather, because actually they're like Pentecost moments. The festival of Pentecost already existed. They were already together celebrating. But then God did a new thing in that space. And then the festival of Pentecost got rebranded. It's the time that the Holy Spirit just did this amazing game changer. And then the Holy Spirit is now God on earth, which links that second bit. If any common sharing in the Spirit, we're talking big S now, Holy Spirit, God on earth. When I was a kid growing up, people used to say, oh yeah, God's on earth, God's all around you. But unfortunately, what my Sunday school teacher didn't tell me in church was that God is the Holy Spirit on earth. It says it right there in Acts, that actually he has come and he is present. And Jesus said, I will leave someone and he is God on earth, the Holy Spirit. But I kept imagining it was like God the Father was kind of roaming round, and then we'd wheel out the Holy Spirit every time we talk about Pentecost. But actually then, when I was 15, I realized that the Holy Spirit is God on earth. And that actually I can be united with him, I can journey with him, I can get in rhythm with him, I can be united in connection with him. He's going to empower me, he's going to enable me, he's going to help me to live out the life that God has created me to live. He is the one who's going to do this transformation in me. He is God, he is Jesus, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all in one, but God the Holy Spirit is his representation on earth, the one who can do that in us. See, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it, God himself, he wants us to be known by him. Philippians 2, we take that encouragement of being united. He's strengthening us with his love and grace. And the Holy Spirit is transforming us. I just want you to, for a moment, just put your notepads down or whatever and just close your eyes and just listen to this version of me reading these verses from the Message, and just let it sink in with you. It'll be on the screen, so if you can't concentrate by closing your eyes, that's fine. The verse will be on the screen as well. But just let it wash over you. Let it, just listen to the words it says. If you've gotten anything out of following Jesus Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, If you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other, love each other, and be deep-spirited friends. If you've got anything at all out of following Jesus Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, the Holy Spirit wants to connect with us. The Holy Spirit wants to do a new thing in us. He wants to transform us. The question is this week will we let him? Will we let the Holy Spirit do a new thing in us? Maybe we're in a space where, well, actually, I'm good, thanks God. You know, I've got my arms crossed, I've got my hands in my pockets. I'm kind of like, I'm a done deal, I'm packaged up, I'm branded up. I've got the right trainers on, I've got the right top on, whatever it is. I'm good, God. Or maybe we're in a place where, like, actually, I'm not sure if I'm good enough for the Holy Spirit to do something in me. Well, you're his masterpiece. You're his greatest work. And he wants to help you live out the masterpiece that you're created to be. Maybe for others, we're just kind of like trying to figure it all out ourselves. We know we need help in the back of our minds, but we're kind of just trying to figure it all out ourselves. Maybe you're none of those and you're somewhere else. This week we all have a decision. Do we let the Holy Spirit transform us more into the people he's created us to be? Or should we just have some nice times in sessions? Because the Holy Spirit wants to do a new thing in you. He wants to be more united with you. He wants to empower you and enable you more into the person he has created you to be. But maybe for you there are things in the way. Maybe you're like, you don't know what's going on in my home, Dan. Maybe you're going through, maybe your family's going through a divorce right now. Maybe you're being bullied really badly. Maybe you're feeling so lonely. Maybe you feel like you've been living a life that you just like, God doesn't even want to talk to me. I don't think God can even look at me because of the things I feel like I've done. Maybe you're struggling with your mental health or other illness. Whatever it is that you feel like is a barrier or a burden, this moment tonight is our opportunity. Say, God, I lay this down before you. I lay this down before you. Because I want you to transform me further. In fact, I need you to transform me further into more of who you've created me to be. And so whatever it is that you feel like is kind of in the way of that, or burning your mind and is creating worry and anxiety, or whatever it might be around those things that is stopping you from maybe fully engaging that community with God, that full connectedness, or experiencing his love more, or being united with the Spirit, all of those things that are leading to us further being transformed by him, the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, then just lay it before God right now. Maybe you want to kneel. Maybe you want to hold your hands out to God where you are. Maybe you want to lay down. Whatever is comfortable for you, just in this moment, just as the band play quietly, I'm going to stop talking, but just lay that thing before God. This is what's going on. This is what I need to give to you. This is what I need to say sorry for. This is what I need to lay before you. I'm going to leave this with you, God. Because I need you to do something in me. The world needs me to live out my masterpiece. The world needs me to live out the life that you've called me to live. Spirit, we want to be united with you. We want you to do a new thing in us. So Holy Spirit, we ask that as we lay this stuff before you, as we've done that now, we ask that you begin a new thing in us. We ask that you do something inside of us which we know will come out eventually, which we know will bear much fruit in our lives. And as we chat about that over the next few days, we can see what that looks like. But start something anew in me tonight, Holy Spirit.